الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف وقال تعالى وعاشروهن بالمعروف وقال تعالى وإذا طلقتم النساء فبلغن أجلهن فأمسكوهن بمعروف أو سرحوهن بمعروف صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders, brothers, now sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I want to start with a story that I found to contain a very big lesson for many of us. People have issues in their life with others, especially if you're working very closely or living closely. People have issues. There are types of disputes that come up, small disagreements. The question about this is, how do you deal with such disagreements? If you want a problem-free life, that's an impossibility. This life contains difficulties, challenges, obstacles. Things don't necessarily always go according to the way we want them. And the most successful person is going to be the one who knows how to deal with them in the right way, in a wise way. And that's taught through the religion. The religion tells us, especially when you believe in Allah, when you believe in God, and you're doing something for a transcendent being like that, it makes it easier. It allows us to rise above our selfish selves. It makes us rise above doing things just for ourselves when we've got a higher authority to invoke, to please, to look for support, for thawab, for reward, for especially when we trust that higher authority, that supreme being, when we know that he's the wise one, where he will help us even though things seem disadvantageous at this point in time. But he will help us if we do things in the correct way according to the correct guidance. So there's one story that really hit me. It's a very practical story. What happens is, how many of us have seen in our families or in other places where husband and wife having a problem, newly married couple maybe, 4 months into the marriage, 6 months into the marriage, or 1 year into the marriage, the romantic period is over. The initial euphoric period where you're living in a cloud, right? As long as you haven't done that cloud before marriage, you know, because there's many people who do everything before marriage and when they get married there's nothing new except that they're married, which is really sad, right? Because then you don't get the same excitement. It's just like you've, you know, made a commitment afterwards of some sort. So you're living in a crowd, you go overcome this romantic period, and then suddenly you start noticing that your spouse has defects. They've got problems. They've got issues, and you're like, wow, if I had known this before, I wouldn't have married him or her. And you feel like your world is falling apart. And what many people do, especially the women and men as well, they call their mum. First port of call is to call their mum. And the mum, especially if this new son-in-law or daughter-in-law hasn't been really up to her expectations and hasn't been the way she really wanted them, because mother-in-laws and father-in-laws have also expectations. They want to see a particular type of person. They're dealing with human beings, but they don't realize that. They think it's as simple as going into Costco, Asda, Morrison's, wherever, and buying something. And if you don't like it, give it back. It's a new product on the line. Let's try it out. It's on offer today. Introductory offer. If you don't like it, don't buy it again. Give it back. It's not like that. We're dealing with human beings here. There's a give and take in all of these situations. Sabr is needed. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said that a man should not dislike his wife just because of one defect he sees in her. Because she may have that defect, as everybody has defects, but there's many others that she will have the good qualities, so focus on the positives. This is a normal situation. The first port of call is the mother. Now the mother, has anybody seen a mother that's not going to favor their child and are going to be 100% just? Very difficult. It's the way mothers are. I'm not blaming them for it. It's the way mothers are. It's for the wife or the husband, the daughter or the son, to realize that this is not going to be the best place for me to get my first counseling session from. Because mothers are always, generally always going to favor their children. It's the case. In fact, I've seen fathers do it. I've seen fathers who are generally very stable, very gruff, rough and tough. Even they do it. When it comes to their children, subhanAllah, then it's theirs. But with mothers in their emotional state, and may Allah bless them for it, because that's what a mother is. That's the positive aspects of that are what's beneficial for us. So now, there's a story related. Somebody recently, she used to always call her mother. Every time she's got a problem with her husband, she calls her mother. On one occasion, she calls her mother again to spend an hour talking to her, right? Backbiting about her husband and plotting against him and so on. And this time, she got a different answer. The answer she got was, she was very surprised. She said, my mother said, look, I love you a lot, but I think it's very unfair for us to speak about your husband. She's like, dumbstruck, totally taken aback. What is my mom saying? She's the one that I always speak to and gives me advice of do this, and if he says this, then do this and say this, and you know, don't make the tea in the morning, and you know, that kind of a thing. You know, tuho batlauni? You know what I mean? I mean, that's the kind of thing, like you give it back as good as you get it. It's no reconciliation. So this time she says, look, I don't think you should talk to me about him. I want you to, in fact, she said the first thing is, have you prayed to Allah first? Have you made dua to Allah first that Allah resolve your matter? So like, she's never talked about that before, what's happening today? Said, look, I love you and I want now the best for you. The mum had suddenly become enlightened. She suddenly realized that I'm not helping the situation. Unfortunately, this doesn't happen to all the mums. But for this one, sometime, maybe she heard something, some had a dream or whatever the case is. She said, no, I don't think you should talk to me, and listen to why she said that. She said, it's because you and your husband have a very special relationship that I don't have with your husband. I don't have that same relationship. Whatever happens between you two, it's much easier for you to resolve and overlook and be patient and forgive than for me, because I'm looking as a third person with emotional attachment with you, not him. So I don't want you to call me again about this issue. And then this daughter says, this wife, this daughter says that those words stuck to me from then and things became resolved. Because I dealt with it myself. I realized that I am on my own, I'm going to have to deal with it. And now Allah gave me the wisdom to be able to deal with it. I didn't have anybody that I spoke to who would be biased towards me all the time. And believe me, this is definitely true, that if your parents are going on about your spouse, right? For the men, they're saying that she doesn't know how to cook, what kind of a family has she come from. If these are the kind of statements you're hearing from your mother and father about your wife, you'll start to hate her as well. Even though she's perfect for you, but you'll start to hate her. How can you turn around to your parents and say to them, look, I understand that's how you feel about her, but she's my wife and I'm feeling okay with her. I think there's a polite way with respect to mention that to them. But it all depends on expectations. But at the end of the day, we have to live that life. If our parents are going to, if we're going to allow our mothers sometimes to do this, which marriage is going to succeed? How many marriages are we going to do, even if you get divorced from this one? People don't know that sometimes they're jumping from the frying pan into the fire. Another thing is that couples should stop blackmailing each other. Emotional blackmail. This is extremely detrimental. The husband, his blackmail is, I'll divorce you. Right? I'll divorce you. And the wife's is, just give it to me. If you don't like me, just give it to me. This is an extreme level. They don't mean it. I've had so many cases where somebody's got divorced, she's calling me, and I'm saying, but how did it happen? And then when you push, they say, well, I did say, like, just give it to me, and he gave it to me. but I didn't really mean it. I said, how many times have you said that? Oh, I've said it many times. I go, well, what were you doing then? What were you doing? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to change names that people had that weren't very pleasant. That somebody may have called their child somebody called their child the grieved one. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed his name to the easygoing one. Because names have an effect. When you keep saying something to someone, that's why we're told to have good names. Because when you call somebody by a good name, hopefully the characteristics, that quality should enter into that person. Because it's like you're invoking a dua for them, a prayer for them. So in a similar way here, if you keep saying something, the shaitan is going to put into the husband's mind, the next time she says it, I'm just going to give it. And you know, we're human beings, we're in different moods. Sometimes we may have been angry from work, may have been, the London traffic is crazy. That really gives people road rage. And they come home and have house rage. Because the traffic, you know, you're just tired from work and it took you 45 minutes when it's supposed to be a 3-mile journey, took you 45 minutes. That's ridiculous. So you've come home, you're very angry, you're thirsty, you're hungry or whatever the case is. And you forgot to bring the shopping. Or it's the other way around. You have to be very sensitive in what you say to each other. I know we can make mistakes, but the best person is the one, as the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Badi'u bis-salami bari'un min al-kibr. The one who makes salam first is the one who is free of arrogance. Because what's going to prevent us from reconciling, from saying salamu alaykum, from greeting them again, is our arrogance. She should do it first. He should do it first. It's like, if I do it first, then he's always going to take advantage of me. Well, have you seen that he's going to take advantage of you? Have you seen that she's going to take advantage of you? In fact, love increases in their heart. You'll score points. At the end of the day, between husband and wife, what you need to do is you need to score points with each other. That helps when there's a bad situation, because then they will be reminded, but look, there's a lot of good things that he's done. Remember that those flowers he bought me? I mean, you wonder why you should buy flowers. You just put them in there for 2-3 days and then after that they wilt and they go away. But you know, flowers for women is something ajeeb. It's connected to their heart. If I look at it financially and from a perspective of redundancy and everything, I think, why should I buy flowers, 5-pound flowers? They're going to sit there for 2-3 days and they're going to die. I mean, I'm wasting my 5 pounds or 10 pounds or 15 pounds. But you know, I don't know what flowers has to do with women, flowers, jewelry, this kind of stuff, chocolates. They love that kind of stuff. I'm talking to the men here, that's why I'm saying this. It'll give you lots of points. Try it. I'm not saying I do this every day, but I'm saying try it. And if you've never done it before and you do it, inshallah, I'll get lots of du'as. But this is things that you have to do. You have to do these kind of things. Men will not appreciate flowers. If your wife brought you flowers, you think, man, what are you doing? You think I'm a woman or something? It's against the manliness to buy flowers for men, generally speaking. They need other things. And that is the womanly attention that a woman gives. That's the best thing that she can give to her husband. Womanly, motherly, that kind of a love and affection and care. That is the best thing that she can give to the husband. It's all about making each other happy. You know what researchers are saying now? I've seen so many people I've traveled with, and he is homesick. I said, why are you homesick for? You're missing your wife. He says, no, I'm missing my children. I don't miss my wife. I feel sorry for him. You should miss both, your children and your wife. In fact, you know what researchers are saying today? And if you look at the ahadith, most of the focus about love and affection, understanding, compromising, is about the husband and wife, not the father and child or the mother and child. That's more about tarbiyah. That's more about tarbiyah and rahmah and mercy. What the researchers are saying today is that your wife, your spouse should be your first priority, then your children. Most people think that once you have children, then they're your priority. When I say priority, I'm saying they're both important. I don't mean to say you relegate the others to no priority. They're both priority. But they're saying that if you have a healthy relationship between husband and wife, you'll be on the same page in doing tarbiyah and in nurturing your children then. Otherwise, if there is a discrepancy between the two, out of spite for the other, the mother will sometimes allow, the father will sometimes allow them to do things that the other one doesn't like. This is when it gets really ugly, when they use the children in between. Especially in cases of divorce, which is another story. But the researchers are saying that if you make your spouse, the husband makes the wife, and the wife makes the husband their first priority, you'll have a more healthier children and healthier household. Because when you two are on one, because I've dealt the cases that I deal with when it's regarding children is generally got to do with one spouse against the other. What they should be allowed to wear, what they should not be allowed to wear. The mother is allowing something, the father doesn't want it. Or the father is allowing something and the mother is not allowing it. You know, something that's not appropriate to wear, for example. And then after that, the argument is that I'm not on the same wavelength as you. If you tell that to your spouse, if a wife says to her husband, look, I'm not on the same wavelength as you, or the husband says that to the wife, that is very detrimental. You may not be on the same wavelength. You've discovered that from the conflicts you have and the differences of opinion you have. But you don't state that. You try to resolve it. The husband should try to understand why the wife is not thinking his way. Is it maybe because he's being too harsh about something? Maybe he's being a bit too literal about something? Maybe he's being too soft about something? And the wife should think the same way and they should try to meet in the middle. Because once this gets aggravated and you get to a level where it's sometimes people, the love comes out of the heart and then it becomes a point of no return and you've got 3 or 4 children. And then that's harm for everybody. So always think what kind of impact will my words have? Because at the end of the day, both want a happy lifestyle. But unfortunately, we have people in our community who for 15 years have had problems. And they've now, they're satisfied with that. They don't know how to get out of it. They don't think there's a way to get out of it. They think she's never going to change. And she thinks he's never going to change. 15, 20 years this problem has been going on. Because I get questions that if a husband and wife haven't slept together for a year, does talaq happen? I said, no, it doesn't, because in our Sharia, you can stay separate in that sense for 5 years or 10 years. No talaq will take place. Talaq has to be uttered. You have to say something. You have to issue it. It's not going to happen by inaction. But what kind of a life is that? What are we teaching our children? What kind of an impression is on our children like that? Are they going to grow up and do the same thing because that's what they've seen in the house? And that's what they've seen on EastEnders? And that's what they've seen on Coronation Street and all of these other, whatever, that's the only two I know. I'm sure there's others today. Right? Because where are our children going to learn how it is to live a happy life? These sensationalist dramas don't give you the right thing, because if there's a nice happy couple, that doesn't make a good program. You need things to be up and down. You need unfaithfulness. You need infidelity. You need cheating, that's when it makes it juicy. That's what's going to get you the ratings. And if in the house it's the same as well, then where are our children going to look? Now let's give some hope here. The main thing is that even if we've had problems for 20, 25 years, whoever's listening, take the first step. Contact somebody that can help. And if you are listening and you're the cause, because you're so hard-hearted, and I say this clearly because it's such a big problem and I have to listen to this misery and I have to do something about it. If you're hard-hearted and you just can't speak correctly and properly, you can get help. There's help for you. The deen provides assistance. The deen gives you a way out. But you need to ask for that help. It doesn't matter if it's been 20 years. There are certain adhkar. There are certain dhikrs, azkar that you, and awrad that you can do that will... There are certain adhkar that you can do that will remove anger from you. It'll take a while. You'll have to do it. If you've been angry for 20 years of your life or all your life, yes, you'll have to work on yourself. But we have answers. If you have extreme lust for something and haram desires, we have dhikr for that as well. If you have a problem with jealousy, you have dhikr for that and you have du'as for that as well. So if you have arrogance, then there is a way to deal with that as well. But you have to seek
And you have to then act. You can't go to a doctor for a problem and say, 20 years I've had this spot here, do something about it, and doctor gives you a prescription. But you're just so lazy to go to the chemist and buy that, and then to apply it. If a Maulana, if a Sheikh gives you a prescription that this is what you should read, and you have to spend half an hour doing it, because if we've had a problem for 20 years, we're going to need an hour a day to work on it. I don't want to discourage you. But if you don't act on that prescription, then it's just an empty prescription, and that medicine will go stale. You have to act upon it. The deen has everything. The Prophet ﷺ dealt with all of these issues. Ask for help. Ask for help. And make lots of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the point is that let us not feel that even if we've been in this situation and my whole family hates me, and you know, I've had questions about certain people, and I say, can you not find an uncle that can help? Can you not find a Maulana that can help? And you know the response I get? He doesn't listen to anybody. Nobody in the family talks to him. He doesn't listen to anybody. He's broken it with everybody. He's alone in the world. How do you like to be like that? What's going to happen to you in the hereafter? The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man shadda shudda fi an-nar." The one who stays away, he's going to be away like that in the hellfire, if he's done the bad actions like that. It doesn't matter whether you're making salat, but we live in a world which is a social world. We're social creatures. We're not told to do hermitude. We're not told to live alone, angry at everybody. It is extremely important to learn this. That this is not how the Prophet ﷺ was. He said, "La khayra fi man la ya'lif wa la yu'laf." Al-mu'minu ma'lafun. The mu'min, the believer, is a place of affection. Is a place of affection. And he said, there is no good in the one who is not affectionate and interacts good with others, and people don't interact good with him. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said. So yes, you could be making your salat, but social interaction can get you to great heights. And we need to seek ilaj for this if we have this as a problem. I know if I have an anger problem, I need to work on it. And alhamdulillah, there are adhkar out there that will help you with your anger problem. But you have to have commitment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all and make us better people, better human beings, better believers, better servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And allow us to live in a world, in a society that is conducive to that, and that assists each other. وَآخِرُ الدَّعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ